From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. American drone strikes have become routine. Targeted killing from the sky in Pakistan, Yemen, Afghanistan, Iraq, Somalia, Libya. The Obama administration's go-to weapon against Al-Qaeda and maybe more. But are these strikes legal? Contemplating a possible Romney presidency, the Obama administration began quietly pushing for a new rule book to more tightly govern drone strikes. Critics say we've already got a rule book, international law, and it's being broken, with thorny implications right now and for the future as more nations get drones. This hour on Point, the law and American drones. You can join the conversation. How do you look at drones, drone strikes, with gratitude, with fear? Where does this go, and what if there were another country's drones up there? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me first today from Washington is Julian Barnes, Pentagon reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Julian Barnes, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom.
What do the numbers look like in terms of strikes and fatalities from American drones, I don't know, since 9/11 or since President Obama came to office, Julian?
Well, we have a couple thousand people at least who have been killed in the Pakistan theater by these drone strikes. It's tough to get really accurate numbers. Government officials will point you toward one number. Pakistanis have another number. But neither source is exactly right. But this is not just a couple dozen people. This is hundreds and probably a couple thousand people.
I'm reading numbers up to, some say, at least 3,000 and strikes, 350, 400. It's hard to pin down the number. What about the range of their deployment, of their use? I mean, you've got people tracking this who are reporting that they've been deployed and used in Somalia, in Libya, in, I guess, Yemen's obvious, Afghanistan, Iraq. Now, this is technically a classified program, though Obama people talk about it and others all the time. Do we know for sure that it's been used in all these theaters? Or what about these reported claims?
It's a strange sort of the most open secret in Washington is the CIA drone program. Although technically classified, it's something that, the president has discussed, high officials have discussed. So you're right. We don't know every place it's been used, but we know that it's used, has been used, especially at the beginning of the Obama administration, up through the last year, very heavily in Pakistan. Obviously, drones are used in Afghanistan, an active war theater, and that's by the military, not by the CIA. Both the military and the CIA have drones in Yemen. The strikes there are just a fraction of the strikes that have taken place in Pakistan, in part because that program is younger, in part because the Obama administration has not given the CIA or the military the sort of wide latitude. They've been more restrictive in Yemen than they have been in Pakistan. We also have seen drone activity over Somalia, although there have not been that many strikes there. We have drones used for observation in Libya and other East African countries by the military.
Is it only to go after Al-Qaeda leadership? That's what the president speaks of, but we hear others warning, Mike Azenko at the Council on Foreign Relations saying that our drones, U.S. drones, have become the counterinsurgency air force for other governments, for example, Pakistan, Yemen, well, Al-Qaeda or not, but opponents of those governments that we're supporting, is it restricted to Al-Qaeda targets? Is that obvious?
It is not obvious. There are folks who, I've spoken to senior counterterrorism officials who want to see a broader number of strikes in Yemen in order to do sort of more counterinsurgency on behalf of the Yemen government, saying, hey, look, the Yemen government is helping us out here. We need to widen this beyond Al-Qaeda and give the Yemen government a hand. But the reality is it's sometimes hard to identify if somebody is purely an Al-Qaeda target, or is this Al-Qaeda member also someone who in addition to having Western targets in mind, also is an opponent of the Yemen government. So Yemen is sort of the trickiest area, perhaps. There is, as you say, an intense debate about how to use this. But, you know, senior officials will say, you know, we are trying to focus this only on al-Qaeda targets and only on the al-Qaeda leaders who are attempting to go after Western targets in Yemen. Now, the issue in Pakistan is that you have, obviously, targets who are on a kill list, but they also go for something what they call signature strikes. And these are strikes of people who, you know, our intelligence suggests are militants. So they could be groups of what are called military-aged males. So it could be a bunch of 18-year-olds who are doing some sort of training or military drill, and they could be subject to a strike. And we don't, one, the evidence that they are affiliated with al-Qaeda as opposed to a militant group that has aims against the Pakistani state is it's very murky. So in that case where signature strikes are involved, it's hard to say that every strike is just on al-Qaeda.
Or, I suppose, hard to know for absolutely sure that it's training or a drill. You know, maybe they're doing something else. But in any case, I'm reading here Doyle McManus in the LA Times quoting Robert Grenier, former CIA station chief in Pakistan, saying we've crossed a line from using drones against known terrorists to using them more broadly against whole groups of militants. That takes the United States perhaps into new territory. What about others, Julian? I mean, here's a story from just last week about China showing off a whole new arsenal of drones here. Most of them clones that look like clones of American Predators and Reapers. They've got even bigger ones, the sort of soaring dragon Xianglong, like the U.S. Global Hawk. I mean, we talk about, you know, we ask how long will the U.S. be the only one with these drones, but maybe that question is outdated. China's got a whole tons of drones already. Who else has them in the air or may have them in the air one day?
Yeah, I mean, there's a range of countries that are going to have the ability to do this. Russia will be able to do it. China is able to do it, as we know. Obviously, Israel has the capability. You know, some of our NATO allies have also been given drones by us. The UK obviously has armed drones. Turkey would like armed drones. So this has been an issue that has really gripped some people inside the Obama administration and a big swath of the legal community outside. What the U.S. does with its drone program will establish the rules, the customary international rules over time for the rest of the world. And that's why it's so critical for the Obama administration to both in its actions and in what it says, sort of lay out the rules of the road on drones. If you want to stop the Chinese or the Pakistanis or any other country down the line from having a targeted killing campaign that is not terribly precise, that aims at civilians as well as militants, you need to establish clear rules that say that these are it's unlawful, it's a violation of international law to use these in a way that might target civilians. But it's a complicated issue, too. I mean, this issue of targeting military-age males has divided the Obama administration. There are those in the military who say, you know, it's counterproductive. It doesn't work. And you've seen
because it makes people so angry on the ground when the missile comes out of the sky, kills a bunch of people, civilians clearly included, in a significant number of these strikes. You mean it's the public opinion, the outrage is the problem. Is that it?
That's right. And but even there's that broad public outrage, which is a big issue in Pakistan, but also the more specific problem that has focused some of the military attention is you kill a military-age man who's doing jumping jacks. He may or may not have been an al-Qaeda militant. His brother, his son, will almost definitely become a militant afterwards, because they have a actual they have anger and a cause to fight for, and so that's the real issue. Sometimes the drone strikes create more enemies than they destroy?
If we are setting the precedent for the century and more ahead, it doesn't look like a precedent with very tight boundaries on it at this point, which I guess is the whole point of why the Obama administration, they began talking about a new rule book when it looked as though Mitt Romney might take the White House. Everybody thinks, you know, well, I can do this just fine, but the next guy might not know how. Do we know where that stands at this point, Julian, that effort to nail this down in a codified way, the usage more completely?
Yeah, I mean, I think this effort goes back a little ways before the election. I mean, John Bellinger, who will be on here later in October 2011, wrote a piece saying, you know, are drones going to be the Obama administration's Guantanamo? Officials I talked to said, you know, that piece got attention, and the Obama administration believes they have been using drones in a ethical way in compliance with international law. But that piece and other discussion like it started this process of we need to explain it. And you saw a series of speeches that began with John Brennan and Eric Holder and Jay Johnson, the general counsel in the Pentagon, trying to explain this.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the law and American drones. They're killing plenty. What should the rules be? And are they... they're already in international law, and we're just breaking them. There's a debate about that and where this all goes as the U.S. has deployed more and more drones, more and more strikes, and other nations have drones of their own. President Obama, before the election, talking about this publicly, this was with Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. He talked about the need for more rules and legal framework for drone strikes. Here's the president.
One of the things that we've got to do is put a legal architecture in place, and we need congressional help to do that, to make sure that not only am I reined in, but any president's reined in terms of some of the decisions that we're making.
Maybe he was thinking of Mitt Romney right there in advance of the election. It's still President Obama. It's been a huge tool in his arsenal for anti-terrorism efforts, but it has, as Julian Barnes with the Wall Street Journal with us today notes, it has also spurred a lot of outrage in countries where it's been used, seen by our own military as a potential recruiting tool when people's family members and friends are killed by drones. Here in June of 2011, Pakistanis assembled in Karachi to protest American drone strikes. It's been a huge issue in Pakistan. Let's look at the law here. Julian Barnes, please stand by in Washington. Also from Washington right now, John Bellinger joins us. He's a partner at Arnold and Porter, served as legal advisor to the Department of State from 05 to 09, to the National Security Council from 2001 to 2005. John Bellinger, thanks very much for being with us.
Nice to be here, Tom.
And with us from New York City, Jamil Jaffer is here, Deputy Legal Director at the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU. Jamil, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Jamil, let me come first to you. The administration says, you know, under legislation passed by Congress after the attacks of 9/11, and by our interpretation and the Bush administration's before us, we are within the law with our American drone strike program. What do you say to that, Jamil?
Well, I mean, I think it's a very aggressive reading of domestic law. I mean, you remember the outcry when the Bush administration proposed that that same authorization for use of military force passed in 2001 justified warrantless wiretapping or justified detention without trial. There was a pretty widespread outcry against those propositions. And now the Obama administration is proposing that that same AUMF, the Authorization for Use of Military Force, justifies the extrajudicial killing of suspected terrorists anywhere in the world. You know, I think that that's a very aggressive position under domestic law. But whatever the right answer under domestic law, there is an international legal framework here as well, which ought to matter to the administration and certainly matters to other countries. And that framework does not give the United States or any other country an entirely free hand to execute without charge or trial anyone who's suspected of being engaged in terrorism. So there are real limits here. And the United States has an interest in enforcing those limits, in abiding by those limits, in part because these same rules are going to be used by other countries when they have the same capacity that we do now.
Have we abided by the limits that you see to this point?
No, I think it's pretty clear we haven't. But that said, there's a lot more information that ought to be released by the administration to allow the public to better assess the wisdom and the lawfulness of the policies we have in place right now. Right now, as Julian said earlier, you know, the administration is taking the position, which is increasingly absurd, the position that the drone program and the CIA's involvement in the drone program is a state secret. When we litigate under the Freedom of Information Act, the administration's response is, we can't give you any documents or even acknowledge that there are documents relating to the drone program because we haven't confirmed or denied and we can't acknowledge that the CIA is engaged in this at all. And that you know, there's a kind of comic aspect to that, but the consequence is that the public is deprived of even the most basic information about the law, the legal basis for the program, the extent to which civilians have been impacted by the program. These very basic questions still haven't been answered. And while I very much appreciate the chance to be on your show, Tom, I note that there's no representative of the administration here, and that's consistent with the administration's position, which is that they can't even speak about it. You know, they speak about it when they have selected information that they think will paint the program in a favorable light. But as a general matter, they don't answer follow-up questions about it. They don't offer the primary documents about the program. They haven't explained why they killed there are three American citizens who were killed in Yemen last year. There hasn't been any formal explanation of the evidence. I think that's a dangerous thing, and the Obama administration is right to worry about how that power will be used by the next administration. But I think Americans ought to be worried about how the power is being used by this administration as well.
It's an odd state secret with so much rather widely acknowledged in political context, but when you get down to the law, a bit perhaps less so. John Bellinger, how do you see the drone program, the lethal drone program that's emerged since 9/11 as sitting against American domestic law and against international law, John?
Yeah, Tom, I think both the Bush and the Obama administration have taken the position generally that drone strikes against suspected al-Qaeda members can be legal under both domestic law and international law. The Obama administration has ramped up use of drones dramatically, probably more than tenfold, I think probably because they saw what happened to the Bush administration when it came to detaining people. So they've decided that rather than detaining people, they will just use drone strikes to kill them. I think the legal rationale is the same, as best I can tell, under both administrations, that it's legal under domestic law under this Authorization to Use Military Force Act that Congress passed in September 2001 to use force against those who planned, committed, or harbored those who committed 9/11, and under international law as an action in self-defense against people who may be trying to kill us. So the rationale, I think, has largely remained the same. As Julian said, the Obama administration has started getting nervous about the growing international criticism and has been giving a series of speeches trying to explain the legal rationale. But the fact is, we're pretty far out on a limb here as we engage in pretty edgy and aggressive activity. I think we are comfortable with our theory. The Obama administration certainly is. But we don't have a lot of other countries out there in the world saying, yeah, we agree with what the United States is doing. So that's a precarious position for the United States to be in legally.
I mean, here we are. It's now 2012. 9/11 was 2001. How long can that legislation passed in the fear and anger and you know, aftermath of 9/11 continue as a legal justification for attacks all over the place? You know, are these still attacks that can justly be put under that umbrella of against people who, you know, planned or committed or harbored those attacks, John? It's 11 years now.
No, it's a great question. I mean, that's largely a question that bothers lawyers and critics inside the United States, like the ACLU, and the Obama administration apparently continues to think that they have a legal authority under that congressional authorization. Personally, I think and have been writing that it is questionable, because that authorization allows use of force against the people who committed or planned or harbored those who committed or planned 9/11. And so 11 years later, you know, it's not at all clear that the drone strikes against, people in Pakistan or Yemen or Somalia, you know, young men who were in their 20s, who 12 years ago may have been 8 or 9 years old, were in fact part of the same organization that planned 9/11. So the Obama administration continues to say that they have that authority under congressional authorization, but I think it's a fair question as to whether they really do. What we're really seeing, and I, having been the legal advisor of the State Department, am seeing growing international outrage about whether drone strikes are lawful under international law. Are they infringing on the sovereignty of other countries when we drop drones in other countries? Do they violate principles of international human rights law to kill a particular individual? And I think, frankly, in this second term of the Obama administration, the administration, which sort of got a pass from the international community, even from human rights groups and from the UN, who, you know, had viewed the Obama administration so favorably because it wasn't the Bush administration. These other groups are beginning to get worried about drone strikes, and we're on the cusp, I think, of a tremendous amount of international legal criticism. We've had two UN rapporteurs recently suggest that drone strikes may be war crimes. So I think that's the last thing the Obama administration ever thought would happen to them 4 years ago, that they themselves would have lawsuits against them by the ACLU, UN rapporteurs suggesting that they're war crimes. And so I think they're growing increasingly uneasy about the international legal position of drone strikes.
Understandably, Julian Barnes with the Wall Street Journal. I think I've seen recently the UN is putting some kind of group together to look into drone strikes and the law. Am I right on that?
There's a range of sort of efforts going on here, and as John said, the earlier reports under the UN auspices have been quite critical, and this is why we see speeches like Jay Johnson's last week, where he is trying to say this is not going to be an endless war, that there will come a time when the authorization for the use of military force, where al-Qaeda is decimated or weakened enough that the authorization of military force is no longer carries strength. And this is – he delivered that speech in England, in the United Kingdom, and that was in part because I think he was trying to sort of send a signal to the allies and the international community that the administration is thinking about this and has heard these concerns, but is also sort of defending themselves.
Be patient, be patient. We're looking at this. On the other hand, with every passing day and month and year of their use, precedents are being established by American patterns of behavior. We're looking this hour at the law and American drones. Let's get our listeners in here. Omaha, Nebraska. Chris is calling. Chris, you're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
As to the legal ramifications, I don't have an opinion, but I feel that the drone strikes are an order of magnitude more focus than things we've done in the past, such as the bombing of Dresden or Nagasaki or the napalm in Vietnam.
Yep.
Therefore, it's a desirable tool to keep in our arsenal and use. Contrast that to a cruise missile or an ICBM or any other non-focused weapon that has, you know, a 4-kilometer kill radius.
No, I get it. I mean, of course, the history of bombing and missiles from the sky is a very, very bloody one, was with mass death. And this is different from that. On the other hand, Chris, what about those who say, you know, be careful here because it's so tempting to use it? We've got even people.
I think we should believe the people who preach that America is the great Satan and they wanted to destroy us. Believe them. They're sincere. And that takes them out of the role of non-combatants. They are teaching their youth to strap on bomb vests and suicide missions.
I get it, Chris. What if they strap on those vests partly in response to what they've seen in American drone strikes? I mean, you've got even American military worried about that.
Which came first, the drone strikes or the attacks? I mean, I'm thinking that this is a proper and good response.
Chris, I appreciate your call. Jamil, what do you say to that? I mean, it is interesting. You can hear even the president, who's been very gung-ho on drones as a weapon, he's quoted saying there's a remoteness to it that makes it tempting to think that somehow we can, without any mess on our hands, solve vexing security problems. On the other hand, caller Chris says, look, in the past we've had mass bombardment from the sky, much worse.
Right. I mean, I think that your caller is at some level obviously right, that a drone strike is more precise than a nuclear bomb. But I'm not sure that that's the right comparison. It's not true that if we weren't engaged in drone strikes in places like Yemen and Pakistan and Somalia, we would be dropping nuclear weapons instead. Those aren't the options on the table. The drone strikes are displacing not nuclear weapons, but rather diplomacy. And many other non-military policies. And if you look to people like Dennis Blair, who was formerly the Director of National Intelligence, he wrote an op-ed in the Times just a few months ago saying that drone strikes are not the most effective strategy and that as the campaign wears on, the drone strikes are creating more terrorists than they are destroying. And if you look to the people who are experts on, say, Yemen, people like Gregory Johnson, who had an op-ed, I can't remember if it was the Times or the Post, just a couple days ago, he pointed out that there are three times as many members of ACAP, Al-Qaeda, in the Arabian Peninsula today as there were when we first started carrying out these drone strikes. So now you can't draw any conclusive determination from those kinds of statistics, but they certainly suggest that the drone program may be something less than effective. So even if you put all the law to the side, there's this question of effectiveness. And as to your caller's other point that you know, we know that these people are guilty of something and we ought to give the CIA and the Defense Department the authority to carry out these kinds of strikes against people who think that the United States is a great Satan. You know, just remember the way that the detentions at Guantanamo played out. In the first few months, everybody or most people accepted the Bush administration's contention that all of these people were the worst of the worst. They were terrorists committed to destroying the United States. And as the months went by, even the Bush administration began to acknowledge that, well, not everybody who was detained at Guantanamo was of that type. And the Bush administration itself released hundreds of people. The Obama administration has now released dozens of people from Guantanamo, concluding that these people don't, in fact, present any real threat to the United States, and maybe didn't in the first place. So if you imagine that we'd killed those people instead, we would have killed many people who turned out to be innocent.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the law and American drones. Julian Barnes is with us, Pentagon reporter for the Wall Street Journal. John Bellinger, he was in the heart of the State Department, National Security Council in the last decade as wars unfolded around the world in response to 9/11, joins us today from Washington. He's with Arnold and Porter, law firm there now. And Jamil Jaffer is here from the American Civil Liberties Union, director of the ACLU Center for Democracy. Dorothy's calling from Swampscott, Massachusetts. Dorothy, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I have two quick questions to the guests over there. One is, since this all is being done in secrecy, how would any drone strike be confirmed, particularly once other players get into the game? And second, again, because of the secrecy of the whole program, what's the likelihood and the thought being given to kind of targeted killings of leaders of countries such as Syria, where the killing could be done under cover of just some explosion? And I'm wondering if that has been done already. So those are my questions, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy. Very interesting questions. Jamil, let me come first to you. I mean, first, how do we know when something happens? I know there are organizations that track this, but the government's not saying, so how do we know? How do you know it's even an American drone, not somebody else's? And what about to Dorothy's question about this bleeding into other arenas? You know, if it suddenly occurs that an explosion happens and you've got a leadership change in Syria, how do we know it wasn't a drone? How do we know what's going on?
Right. I mean, I think those are good questions. So the answer to the first question is well, we don't know as much as we ought to know, but the drone strikes aren't a secret to the people on the ground. People in Yemen, people in Pakistan, people in Somalia, you know, obviously they see the drone strikes.
But they don't know for sure who sent them down. I mean,
that's not entirely true. So, you know, often there's the wreckage of the drone itself that gives it away. And many of the reporters who cover these things and many of the people in Yemen and Pakistan who follow these things can tell whether it was a drone strike or not.
I mean, my point there is not to deny that it's U.S. But in the future, if more people have drones, you can imagine a situation where, you know, something happens, somebody's killed, a building is destroyed, and everybody says, well, it wasn't us. If there's not
transparency. Right. No, I think that's right. And even now, you know, it's not true that in every case you can tell who was responsible for it. But you can draw some conclusions from the fact that that Yemen doesn't have the capacity to carry out these strikes. And so when there is a drone strike in Yemen right now, it's a pretty safe bet. It was the United States that carried it out. As for the question about, you know, creeping into other arenas, I think that's a good question. Too, and the fact that all of this is surrounded by so much secrecy means that we may never know how far the program has crept. But there is an executive order in place right now that prohibits the assassination of foreign political leaders, and to my knowledge, the Obama administration thinks that executive order is still good. So you know, I have no reason to believe that we're thinking about killing foreign political leaders right now. But it's hard to see why that line would remain a strong one if the drone program as it exists now becomes politically accepted.
John Bellinger, give us a little perspective of history here. I seem to remember a time when the United States used to call out global actors rather sharply when there were targeted assassinations. Even ally Israel, the U.S., used to complain about targeted assassinations there. I mean, does the U.S. still complain about that, or are we now part of that? It may not be heads of state, but what's a political leader when you get into this arena?
Well, those reciprocity concerns are real ones, and it does make the United States much more difficult to complain if other countries engage in targeted killings or drones. I think it would not surprise me if at some point during the next year we were to see one of the countries that you and Julian mentioned, China or Russia, use a drone against some group. And I pity the poor spokesman of the State Department, someone who I previously would have advised when they're called out to make a comment on that.
If Russians go after Chechens or Chinese go after Uyghurs or something.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they will have, you know, the State Department will, or the President of the White House will have to then explain why that was a bad drone strike, but we engage in good drone strikes. So, you know, it does make it much more difficult when we are using actions that we previously criticized in other contexts, even though the Obama administration believes that they're doing them incredibly carefully. We do lose some of our moral authority. Now, let me do clear up one thing. There has been a fair amount of secrecy about the program, about precisely which agency is doing what and whether intelligence actions have been acknowledged or not. And of course, no administration generally talks about or acknowledges intelligence actions. So it's true that there's a fair amount of secrecy. On the other hand, the administration has been, I think in part in response to things I and others have written, has been much more forthcoming in this series of speeches, which are really worth your listeners reading, to explain, acknowledge that they are engaged in drone strikes and what the legal rationale has been in pretty detailed terms. What they haven't done, and this is where I actually agree with Jamil, is while they've explained the rationale. They haven't explained who they're going after, and you obviously can't do that beforehand, you know, to say we're going to go after this person or this person or this person for obvious reasons. But what even I, having served 8 years in the last administration, don't fully understand is why they can't explain more after the fact who they have targeted, whether the person was killed, so that the rest of the world can really judge, yes, I agree, that senior al-Qaeda leader in Yemen who was planning an attack and we got him in his bomb factory. But the fact is that the administration has not given any detail or acknowledged in any case, really, who they have gone after. And I think that that, in fact, is hurting them and is making human rights groups, the rest of the world, the UN, question who exactly they're going after. And I think that's going to be a real liability for them in the next 4 years if they are not clearer. International reaction is really beginning to grow against them.
Does it matter which agency is deploying these drones under international law, Jamil? Is the CIA as sanctioned, if that's the right word, as the U.S. military? If this is a matter of warfare, I mean, we have the CIA now, I think, controlling a lot of drones and drone strikes. Are they covered equally under international law, under the Geneva Convention, when it comes to legality of this kind of strike?
Well, the general answer is yes, that the same laws apply. It doesn't matter whether it's the CIA or the Defense Department. But, I mean, there are sort of complicated legal questions about whether the CIA and to what extent the CIA can rely on privileges that are generally given under the laws of war to people who are acting within a military chain of command. It's a, you know, but ultimately the basic laws of war apply to the United States, and if the United States is carrying out drone strikes in a place like Pakistan, even if you accept that it's the law of war framework that applies, there are limits to what the United States can do. The United States has to discriminate between civilian non-combatants and combatants. It has to carry out strikes that are proportionate. So there are, you know, there are real constraints on the United States' authority to carry out these kinds of strikes, just as there are constraints on other countries.
But aren't those hypothetical constraints at this point? Because it's not transparent what the U.S. is doing. Who says there's
any
real constraint?
No, that's exactly right. And I would just say, you know, what John said a little more sharply. You know, at this point, the administration, the Obama administration, is responsible for having killed some 3,000 people in Pakistan alone, another few hundred in Yemen, and they haven't explained why we're killing these people, who these people are, when this particular conflict is going to end. There's a lot that we don't know. We don't have access to the legal memos that are supposed to be the foundation for the program. You may remember that early in the Obama administration, President Obama released, as he ought to have, released the memos that were the basis for the Bush administration's torture program. And in justifying the release of those memos, he said correctly that the public has a right to know on what basis we adopted these policies that were of such consequence. But the same could be said with equal force of the policies we have in place now relating to the drone program. And yet the administration hasn't released those legal memos and as a formal matter, continues to say in court that even confirming that the CIA is engaged in these kinds of strikes would jeopardize national security.
And a whole century opening up here where we will not be the only ones with drones. We are not already. Paula in Denison, Iowa. Paula, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Just a comment. To me, this is such an impersonal and antiseptic way. Killing a person it should be more humanity, even though that's kind of odd to say, but you just perhaps don't take it as seriously as you should if you can just push a button and that's the end of what you have to deal with.
But there's been a lot of push-button killing. I mean, you know, bombs away from a bomb bay, you don't know who's dying on the ground. I mean, is it better if it's with a bayonet? Is that what you're saying, Paula?
No, I just wonder if perhaps we would try to find more solutions than killing each other, because it's just going to make it worse. It's just going to increase All we have to do is look at our history and see the actions in the past and some of the repercussions from those actions. And secondly, it does frighten me, too, because if we become so adept at killing people this way, what's to say that someone in the future wouldn't use it on the population of the U.S., of our own government?
Well, the technology is there. We know what happens with technologies. Paula, I appreciate your call. Here's on Twitter, Laura says, assassination and killing innocents with drones, both immoral. If others sent such drones to U.S. soil, we would start World War III. But Mike writes on Facebook, if drones save American lives in the war on terror, then let's keep them coming. Let's go to Bill in Colton, New York. Bill, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me on.
Sure. What do you think?
Well, I was prior Air Force in the mid-90s, and I was an aircraft mechanic at the time. Been through different sorties or missions or what have you. I was a C-130 mechanic in Japan, and then I went to a B-1 bomber in Texas.
Okay.
And I know just from my, being around certain missions that I helped just, as a mechanic.
Yeah.
You hear things, and you're witness to certain things. And one in particular, the CIA, they are a major internal reconnaissance type function, it's...
So where are you going on drones? What do you think about drones, Bill?
Right. I was getting ready with that. I was just opening up with
the
CIA. The CIA, they use us. They use the Air Force. They don't have, like, their own little Air Force to themselves, like a CIA force or whatnot. Their reconnaissance goes through, and it's up to us to do what they suggested to do.
Well, I don't know if that may have changed, but what do you think about drones now?
To me, drones are just an upgrade of technology is all it is. you've got more... people other than just one individual making a choice when that aircraft's up in the air. You've, of course, got the operator, but the operator is listening and being commanded right away.
Bill, we've got it. It's interesting. Thank you for your call that the Pentagon put out a statement recently. They had to assert that humans still make these decisions finally, that they're not robotic decisions. One does wonder down the road, though. Let me get one more, if I may. Springfield, Illinois. David, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Okay. What do you see?
I think it's when you're against, seem to play down the political angle of the drone strikes, and I think especially during an election year, the political will of the American people is, tacitly for drone strikes, no matter how much it may, decrease our war effort. It reduces American casualties, so there's less boots on the ground. As one of your guests said, it solves the detainee problem, and it keeps war hawks and neoconservatives happy. So there's really something there for everyone. So I don't see a political way or any political room for the Obama administration to really back away from its drone policy.
But we're further from 9/11 now, David. I mean, have you served in the military? What do you think about the ethics of this?
Well, yes, I was in the Marines for 5 years. And we are further from 9/11. And the legal basis for the use of these drone strikes was they were decimating al-Qaeda. But, this is, of course, a cyclical argument because these drone strikes are creating more anti-American sentiment, creating more militants, and then thus, prolonging the rationale for military authorization to use drones. I mean, I think it's unethical, but the American public generally seems to either, when it comes to military policy, express either outrage or apathy, and there isn't a whole lot of... nuanced discussion about these things. So as a political leader in a democracy, the Obama administration seems to be pursuing the route that is the most politically favorable right now.
Well, but there's responsibility here, too, and ramifications. I mean, John Bellinger, where do you see this going? This scale of killing wouldn't have been possible in the past just by, SEAL teams here and there. We're talking thousands. It would have taken a military deployment. Now it doesn't. How do we get the politics and the law lined up on this so that we've got a sound basis for the future?
Well, it is, as a couple of the callers have alluded to, it's a very attractive option for the president of the United States, where on the one hand, you know, we know that there are members of al-Qaeda who are out there planning attacks against us, and the president has authority and responsibility to defend the American people, and the drones are an easy way to go after those.
But it's attractive
folks.
Until it's not, until others use it, them, or you're recruiting more than you're... You know.
Exactly. And I think we're really going to see that dilemma facing the Obama administration in the second term as more and more countries, the more and more civil liberties groups like the ACLU, the UN, and others begin to challenge what the Obama administration is doing. So they're playing with fire here legally, even though they have a tool that has been quite effective. But the overall effectiveness may be decreasing for them in the second term of the administration.
John Bellinger, Jamil Jaffer, Julian Barnes, thanks for joining us. Tomorrow we'll look at liberals on the fiscal cliff. Listeners, thanks for joining us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.